Second Chronicles, chapter 20, the book of Second Chronicles, back in the Old Testament. And these stories back in the Old Testament here are written for our example and our learning, and we're going to learn something from one of them this morning. Second Chronicles, chapter number 20, and I want to read you a little part of a story here. You might want to keep your Bibles open there for a few minutes as we read you some scripture here from the Word of God. Second Chronicles, chapter number 20. I can't read all of it for time's sake, but these kings, I think there was 31 of them in the Old Testament, kings of Israel and Judah, good guys we'd say, had enemies. And these enemies were evil kings that come from the Philistines or somebody that would be the enemies of God. And the reason this is relevant to us today is we are fighting spiritual battles now that they were fighting literally then. In other words, when you see a king of Israel in the Old Testament and he's leading his army to battle and they're fighting, that's like me being the pastor of the church and us being members going to fight the battles of the Lord. We're witnessing, we're standing for God. As Brother Derek taught in Sunday school, we're trying to take a stand on what's right. We're using the Bible, that's our sword. All these are spiritual battles, mostly, that we're fighting now, but they're shown in literal battles in the Old Testament. That's why you should never ignore the Old Testament. Some of the greatest truths, Bible truths you'll ever get a hold of, are hid back here in this Old Testament. Don't you believe anybody who tells you that all the Old Testament is a bunch of names. There's some great truths in the Old Testament and blessings. Now, it's in one of these situations like this where they were fighting a battle and it got so rough they couldn't do it. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Look at verse number one. Look at verse number one, chapter 20 and verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, that represents the flesh, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So these wicked kings were coming against the good guys, the Jehoshaphat, to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee. Well, I've felt that before, haven't you? From beyond the sea, on this side Syria, behold, they which be in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. All right, they begin to seek God. They had trouble. Look at verse number 6. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Now, look at verse 12. Here we go. Look at verse 12. Here's the thought of the message. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. We can't whip them, Lord. We ain't strong enough. That cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Look at verse 12 again, the bottom part of it. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You know what they said? That's a rare admission of a group of people who came to God and said, Lord, we don't know what to do. Can you relate to that this morning? Has there ever been a time in your life where you say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do? I've been there a bunch of times. And for all you young people in here this morning, you ain't got there yet. You're going to get there. Just believe me. Your time's coming. You're going to get to the place in your life where you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's what they did. And they said, but our eyes are on thee. I want to preach this morning on the subject. Pay no attention to that noise you hear in the background. Those are little angels cheering for me. I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. The Christian life this morning is a fight. The Old Testament illustrates it. Jehoshaphat, the king here, feared. He said, Lord, we got a problem. It's always been that way. Everybody has problems. There is no such thing as a person on this earth that don't have problems sooner or later. Sometimes TV evangelists, and I'm not saying all of them are crazy, but sometimes TV evangelists give you the impression that if you're a Christian, everything's going to be great all the time. You'll have money in the bank. You're never going to get sick. Nobody in your family will ever die. You'll drive a nice car. It's all, and the truth is, that just is not the way it is. I'm telling you, man, sometimes when you get saved and start living for God, that's when your trouble starts, usually. Because that's when the devil starts coming against you. I told him the other night, I was preaching down there about fighting, and I said, I would love to fight Mike Tyson. Yes, sir, you heard me right. Me, little brother Danny, would love to fight Mike Tyson. I would. I really would. Every man in here can understand that. There's just something in them. Oh, you ladies think it's awful, but there's just something in them. I would love to put on them gloves and just fire back one time and knock the snot out of him. Wouldn't you? I know you ladies think that's awful, but every man in here, wouldn't that be fun just to bow and him like that? That would feel good. I'd like to do that. But there's one reason why I won't do that. I would love to fight Mike Tyson if he wouldn't hit back. If he hit me one time, I'd be laying over in the bank parking lot. Y'all be picking me up off the sidewalk, and he'd knock my head off. I'm not going to fight him, no sir. And that's where they live. And living for God, it'd be fun if we got to do all the hitting. But there's somebody hitting back at us. That's when it's not fun. Man, who wouldn't want to be a boxer if the other guy couldn't hit you back? That'd be fun, man. Pay me $1 million, get to knock somebody in the face. That'd be fun. But I'm just rednecking up. You know, you can enjoy that. But I'm going to tell you something. When they start hitting back, that's when I'm out. I ain't into that getting hit. I don't know about you. I don't see what people get out of that. I heard people say, hit me. You can hit yourself, buddy. I don't want nobody hitting me. Now listen, that's the way this battle is. And they came to the Lord one time. They said, Lord, they're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are. They're meaner than we are. They're going to kill us. God, what in the world are we going to do? Neither know thee what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And did you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to tell you something this morning. What to do when you don't know what to do. Now, I don't know. I know what to do when I know what to do. Don't you? When I know what to do, I know what I ought to do. But what drives me crazy is when I don't know what to do. I don't mind doing what I ought to do if I know what it is. But what drives you up a wall is when you don't know what you ought to do. Well, I see some of you nod your head now. I mean, you know, if there's a clear path, you say, this is what we do. Okay, let's suck up and do it. Amen. Let's just go ahead and get it over with and do what we need to do. What drives you nuts is you're at a point in your life where you don't know what you ought to do. I mean, there's no way out. There, you look this way and there's a wall, and you look that way and there's a wall, and you look that way and say, Lord, no, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's some of you sitting there like that in that shape this morning. You say, Lord, my marriage is in such a mess, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've had at least two, then the last four days, and another situation almost as bad where people told me, I don't know what to do in my marriage. Brother Danny, we fuss and fight all the time. Is there no, I don't know what to do. That's a situation to be in. What to do when you don't know what you ought to do. I've heard people say, finances. I've set it down, figured it out on paper. There is no human possible way that I can get by. Gas is $3 and a half. My house payment so much. My car, I can't let my car go back. Got to have a way to work. I cannot pay. Lord, you can get down in the floor and say, dear God, I don't know what to do. That's the situation I'm talking about this morning. It's easy to get there. I've been there many times. I remember one time I was going through a hard time in my life. Real hard time. Real hard. I mean the type where you think you ain't going to make it. And I'm a pretty positive person. It takes a lot to get me down, a whole lot. But I'm telling you, brother, I've been that close a time or two to just thinking, God, my brain's going to pop if you don't help me. And I remember one time we was in a building program, just like we are right now, that new building over there. We was building the new building in Marion, one of the buildings. And I came in one night late from revival, and it was about 12 o'clock at night. And I remember walking in there, and I'd always stop by, like I have been this week, stop by about 11:30 at night to see what they were doing that day. And I remember I'd walked to that big old building, and I was looking up to see if they got sheetrock up over the ceiling. And I began to think about my troubles and my burdens. And I got to think, Lord, I don't know about this. I said, God, I got a lot of responsibility on me. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. If this don't work out, what's going to happen over here? And God, if this don't get fixed, what am I going to do about that? And Lord, if this don't, it's just like there's no way out, brother. No way out. You've been there before. You know what? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You may be here this morning in that situation. And all of a sudden, I come that close. I just want to just break down and start crying. And I started breaking out again. I said, God, I can't. They're coming against me too much. The battle's too rough. And I started singing. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. And I walked back. You'd have went down the street, heard me in there. You'd have thought I was a drunk that wandered in there off the street. But I was in there at 12 o'clock at night, walking back and forth in that empty building, singing a lot louder than I was just then. And I was saying, Lord, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'll tell you something this morning. You can get there. You can get there. Do you know what they said? They said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on Thee. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you some good news this morning? You may be in the worst part of your life you've ever been in. You may be going through the worst financial crises you've ever been in. Your marriage may be that close to breaking. I had a man call me the other day. He said we're supposed to have revival at my church in 3 weeks. He said, please pray that my wife won't leave me before our revival comes. He said, if we can just make it to our revival. He said, we're that close. Now, listen, have you ever been there? You know what they said? They said, our eyes are on Thee. Ladies and gentlemen, can I report something to you this morning? Like she was singing a while ago, is there anything too hard for God? Let me tell you this morning, there is still a God in heaven. God is still on His throne. The same God that made this world, the same God that's giving you air to breathe right now, the same God that's helped you all these years is still on the throne if you'll put your eyes on Him. The worst thing in the world you can do is turn your back on God and quit church and do something stupid like that. Your eyes ought to be on Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. He said, my eyes are upon Thee. Daddy can't fix your problems. Your wife can't fix your problems. The preacher can't. I don't know what to do, preacher. I don't know what to pray. When you're so low that you can't see no way out. When you can't fix your marriage. When you can't pay your bills. When you can't get things where they need to be. Our eyes are upon Thee. I don't have a real outline this morning. I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart. You know what God did in verse 14? God called a preacher to encourage his people. He got up there, old Jehaziel, and he said, hearken. Old preacher jumped up there like this, and he said, hearken! Listen to me! He said, don't be afraid! He said, didn't God bring us out of Egypt? He said, didn't God drop manna on us in the wilderness? He said, didn't God... And the preacher encouraged them. That's why you need to go to church. I don't tell people you ought to go to church just because I'm a preacher. I tell people you ought to go to church because when you get to church, something's going to be said up here that'll help you be able to trust the Lord and stand and watch Him fight your battles. Everybody's fighting battles. Everybody's fighting battles. You know, we're all cleaned up this morning. Everybody look. You know, here we are done getting ready for spring. Look at us. It'll probably snow in a couple of weeks. But here we are, everybody dressed in light colors and everything. Wanting to get a jump on spring. And everybody's smiling. And everybody looks good. But I've been doing this a long time. I know behind them smiles and behind your hairdo and behind your false teeth, there's a hurting person inside. Amen. Underneath that wig, brother, and we won't go no further than that. There's somebody in there that's hurting, and there's somebody in there that has burdens, and there's somebody in there that says, God, what am I going to do? Y'all ain't fooling me. I'm telling you, everybody, some people in here hurting this morning. You're thinking, God, how am I going to make it? Well, I'm going to do like Jehaziel. I'm going to stand up like he did and said, God's still God. You can still trust him. He's still on the throne. The promises are still true. Heaven's still real. Jesus is still coming back. We are going to heaven one day, and it ain't going to be as bad as you think it is. Amen. Can y'all hear me? Thank you. All right. Anything I can't stand, it's quiet preaching. They said, Lord, they're bigger and stronger than we are. Lord said, Jehaziel said, hearken, the battle is the Lord's. He went out and fell on his face. You know what the answer to your problem is this morning? It ain't going out and doing something stupid. I know a preacher one time, he said this guy came to him. It was a ruckman who it was. He said, told the guy, I said, boy, this guy came to him one time. He said, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, my wife's left me. I can't pay my bills. My kid won't talk to me. He said, I'm losing everything I've got. He said, I'm in here all like 10 minutes. Like, I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. And he just sat there and looked at him. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, my wife won't come back home, and my kids won't. And I can't do that. And I can't. Bills, I'm going to lose my house. Done. He said, what am I going to do? And he just looked at him and said, I don't know, man. Go get drunk. And he did. He did. He didn't mean it. I mean, and the guy went out and got drunk. And he said, I never told nobody else to do that again. He said, somebody asked him, what you doing drunk? Well, the pastor told me that's what I ought to do. So I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you to go blow your brains out. That's the way the world handles their problems. You know how the world has a problem? If you got too much on you, just get drunk. You can forget it for about 8 hours. But guess what? When you sober up, your problems are still there. You owe more money than you did before you got drunk. That ain't no way to get rid of them. I mean, you can't. You say, well, you know what you ought to do? Fall on your face. Come to Jesus. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. A vacation ain't going to solve your problem. That's just going to put you in debt worse. I know people say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just as soon as it gets April, I'm going to Myrtle Beach. I'm getting away from this tick town. Guess what, though? You can go to California. You can go to Florida. Get away from your problems. And your problems are right in here, and you take them with you. You get down there to Florida, I'm still miserable. You know what? And you're broker than you was when you left. You know why? You pay all that money to get rid of problems. A vacation will not solve your problems. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22, one of the most important verses. I usually have you do this, but look at verse 22. It says something. What does it say? Verse 22. It said, look at this. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon. What about that? All right. They didn't know what they was going to do. They had no idea in the world what they was going to do. And the Bible said, the Lord sent ambushments when they began to sing and to praise. So here's these Christians. God, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? God, I can't make it. God, what am I going to do? God, I'm about ready. I know what they're doing. Instead of whining, let's just sing and praise. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem? And the Lord says, all right. He said, ambushments. Amen? Let me show you that. All right. Come here a minute, Tim. I'm going to show you this here a minute. I wish I had some costumes for this, but I didn't really plan this. Come here. All right, Tim here, he's going to represent a Christian young man. Sorry about that. That's the closest I can find right now. A Christian young man. All right, this Christian young man is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, treading the pilgrim pathway, King James Bible, he's ready on fire for God. Woo! And here comes the devil. And son, the devil is messing with him. I mean, he's messing with him. And he makes his life miserable. All right, who's the devil? There's the devil right there. Come up here, devil. And there's another. He looks more like the devil than anybody sitting over there. Does he not look like a devil? Here's the devil. All right, here's the devil. I need another devil. Come on, Kevin, you can be the devil. All right, they're about ready to get him. All right, now you know what they got? They are demons bothering him. Aren't you demons bothering him? All right, now that's the way the devil does. The devil, hey, I'm over here preaching. Look at me. Well, it's demons are bothering this man. All right, now look here. Y'all got daggers at night, and you're gonna do it like, there you go, like it right there. Just keep that up now while I'm preaching. Just keep that up. Keep messing with him. And boy, he's getting aggravated. Don't smile to him. You're miserable. They're ruining your life. They're making you miserable. All right, girls, get up here just a second. I need y'all in here. Hurry. Get up here right quick. Let me show you something. The demons are attacking him. He can't pay his bills. Now he's done sit down and give up. Quit going to church. I mean, he's all messed up. And boy, he's up there like this, you know. And the devil's after him. The devil's bothering him. He's about ready to give up. He's about ready to blow his brains out. He's about ready to commit suicide. I can tell you what, he says, I can't make it. God, what am I going to do? And they start singing. Tim, just start singing and praising God. As soon as they start that, the Lord comes, and the Lord comes, and knocks them away, and knocks the demons down. That's the way it goes. The Lord set ambush. The Lord protects it. And he carries it. He's back on fire. He's real. I can feel him in my soul. That's what you do when you don't know what to do. Just start singing and praising him. And go on through the glory of God.
Heaven and earth wants to save my soul from sin.
What? We did not rehearse this. Them demons get. Did you see the Lord intervene when they started praising? Do you believe that? That's what your Bible says. The Bible said when they sang and praised, the Lord put ambushments against their enemies. You know why the Lord don't put ambushments against your enemies? Lord ain't, he failed me. I thought he was going to help me. Nothing's working out. Foot. I'm just going to quit church. Foot's a Christian cuss word. I ain't going no more. I ain't never going back to church. This is awful. And that's why the Lord won't fight your battle. You get, oh, I know what you do. Where's my demons at? Come back, demons. Right back off, Lord. Here's the demon. The demon's got back on him now. You know why? Because when he got in trouble and didn't know what he's going to do, here's what he listened to. Kick out back, Jack. Don't need a decoy, Roll. Whatever the rest of the time, some of y'all know it, all the words to it. Huh? Yeah, make a new plan, Satan. Get him, demons, if that's what he's singing. Get out the back, Jack. Don't make a decoy, Roy. Need a new plan, Stan. Don't smile. The devil's ruining your life, man. You're 15 ways to leave your lover. I'm telling you what, brother. The devil messed with him. That's what he's saying. Amen? You have to say, the worst thing you can do when you're having a hard time is listen to music that makes your trouble even worse. I mean, here you are. There's a tear in my beer, and I'm blowing my brain out. You know, no wonder people's in such a mess. Man, I want to hear my rock. I want to hear my Jesus. He's real. I've had a bunch of people call me. I've had two or three ladies call me. One up north. She said, Brother Danny, she said, I'm just about ready to have an affair with this guy, and me and my husband ain't getting along. And she said, man, I watch CMT all day, country music television. And she said, every song on there just talks to me. Says, do it. I never knew how it would feel. So I've been with this jerk for 20 years. And now you're, you know. What are you saying? You think the demons ain't going to mess with your life? All right. Hatch them, demons. Hatch them. And they start saying, Lord, my eyes are on thee. And when they sang and praised the Lord, when they started singing and praised the Lord, here they hit the devil. He ain't got you yet. Right, the Lord's going to put you away. There you go. Amen. See, the Bible said when they sang and praised the Lord, that the Lord set ambushes among them. Amen. My Lord, he's real. I can feel him in my soul. Let me tell you something. You know what you do when you don't know what to do? You just stand up and say, I repent it. Fell down on my bended knees. I cried, Lord, have mercy. Won't you save my soul from sin? It's still real this morning. It's still good. It's still your trouble. Amen. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Repent. Get down on your bended knee. Amen. That's right, brother. He's the one that'll help you. Ain't that something this morning? And the Lord just blesses him and blesses him and blesses him and blesses him. He may not have all the money he needs, but God fights his battle. He may not have his wife back, but God fights his battle. He may not have his kids all right, but God fights his battle. I'm telling you this morning, thank God, I can feel him in my soul when you praise him, when you worship him this morning. I'm glad this morning. What to do when you don't know what to do? It's just praise him this morning. What to do. Amen. Thank you, girls. I'm telling you this morning, you can praise your way out of trouble. The Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. The Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. Any church, I don't care how much the devil throws against us, I don't care how bad the battle gets, if everybody in here will just say, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God, and we'll sing and praise him, God will fight our battles. God will pay our bills. God will give us victory. You know what you don't want to do? Around says, here, I've been living right all this time. They ain't done me a bit of good. Look what's happened. Bunch of junk, man. That's the absolute worst attitude to get God to help you. The Bible said there's a man in the Bible in Mark chapter 2 who was sick of the palsy. The palsy, she's all gone up like this and couldn't walk. And they put that man, four men, took that man who could not help himself and carried him to the Lord, and the Lord helped him. He didn't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do? Bible said there was a woman in the Bible who had an issue of blood. There's a woman who had an issue of blood, some kind of blood disease. And the Bible said she spent every dime she made on doctor's physicians, and instead of getting better, grew worse. Everything. She didn't know what else to do. Tried every doctor in town, been to every specialist, been to every clinic, been everywhere. The Bible said she came to the Lord and touched the hem of his garment. That's when she got some help. Now, may I say to you this morning, yeah, listen, Prozac ain't the way out of your trouble. Amen. Another dose. I mean, listen, brother, Valium is not the way out of your problems this morning. Amen. Becoming a legal drug addict is not the way to get Oxycontin will not solve your problem. Amen. Blaming yourself on being bipolar or blaming yourself on this. I know that some people have needs and certain medicines. All right, I'm not preaching against medicine. I'm preaching against people using crutches rather than the Lord to get themselves through their trouble when he's the answer. I mean, if you're sick and you got to have medicine, that's one thing. But if you're using drugs to get yourself through your trouble, you messed up, brother. Amen? Amen? Going and buying you one of them girls that make you look 20 pounds thinner and going to a country music dance and finding a new fella that wears cowboy boots is not the way out of your troubles. Amen. Look to him. Look into him. Our eyes are upon thee. I can tell you story after story. You don't need to quit church. You need to look to him. You don't need a class on how to raise your self-esteem. You need to just look to him. You don't need to learn how to cope with society and understand the Muslim. You need to look to him. That's the answer. What to do when you don't know what to do? Our eyes are upon him. I read the story of William and Marion Bennett. William Bennett was a godly Presbyterian preacher in Scotland in the 17th century. I'll give you this and I'm through. He was arrested in 1680 and put in jail for preaching the gospel. His wife was devastated. Imagine, you're a missionary in Scotland. They throw your husband in jail. She had nowhere to go. The government didn't care if she lived or died. And one man named Thomas Bell was a wicked man, like a magistrate or something, who had him put in jail for preaching and was going to make sure that he died. He said, we're going to execute him and we're going to take his head. And they did it all the time, and they were going to kill this man for preaching. This Thomas Bell guy was a wicked man. He was awful. But Marion stayed in the Bible, that godly wife. She didn't get mad at God and say, God, here we are missionaries in Scotland, and look what you let happen. Her eyes were upon him. Did you hear me? Look to him this morning. That's the answer to your problems. I didn't say he had the answer. I said he is the answer. He's the answer to every one of y'all's problems this morning. Care what it is. I don't care what it is. You say, you don't know my problem. I don't care what the problem is. He's the answer. Getting right with God is the beginning of the answer to everybody in here's problem. Well, she prayed. And she stayed in the Bible. And she trusted the Lord. She set off one Saturday to visit him. It was a cold, snowy day in January. Awful, awful, hideous, terrible weather on a horse. She liked to froze to death, Marion did. And when she got to the jail, they brought him out, and the guard was just smart alecks and only let her see him for a minute. And she saw her husband as they drug him off to prison like that. And there she was in the snow, had to go back home on that horse in the foreign country. And that woman wept. And she said, I may probably never see him again. But her eyes are on me, Lord. She took off home on that horse, going down to that snow and that ice. And she wept and opened her Bible to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 12 about the promises of God. And Thomas Bell, the executioner, bragged about how they was going to kill him and how nothing could get him out of that jail. And he left drinking that night. And they found him, Thomas Bell, 2 days later in ice up to his arms, where his horse had got stuck in and fell in the ice and it froze him to death. And by a miracle, somebody else took the job and sent Thomas Bell's enemy, William Bennett, set him free. And he got out. And him and Marion got back together and stayed on the mission field and worked 40 years. 40 years. You know what she done? She took that Bible down and said, Lord, I am not giving up. No matter how. I mean, they're going to kill him. They had no, the government couldn't intervene, no part. And she said, Lord, my eyes are on thee. And God, by a miracle, got her husband out. They stayed together 40 years.